So right over here, it's a picture of myself and evangelism is on my heart. I'm a medical technologist. I actually have a full-time job and I took leave just to come here and share and equip the body of Christ. And for those of you who know, blading, yeah, that's a picture of me and my wife as well. We're out there in Bishan Park. We are reaching out to the lost in whatever capacity. And those of you who can walk as well, you can join me in the streets. I think there are some youth that join me as well. And it's been amazing testimony, so many testimonies, rain or shine. If you look at the bottom right of the picture, it's like even in rain, you know, we're out there reaching out because it doesn't stop me from sharing the, you know, it doesn't stop me from reaching out. You know, God's love is just everlasting, enduring, unfailing. It's amazing. And I'm just here to pour out my heart on the area of evangelism and to really raise up the body of Christ to be the fullest of the potential of reaching the lost, bringing people who have yet to know Jesus. You know, it's so amazing to see the five candidates out being water baptized. You know, wow, that's like amen. It's like, come on, man, the church should bring more and more. It's going to become, you know, it's going to expand and we'll take back for what rightfully belongs to ours. Amen to that. Right. So a copy of my book as well. You can just get it outside. QR code, you scan it. And the latest version of my book has cell group materials, right? So somebody just grab it, you know, you can just go through the whole material with your cell after the service. If you feel led to give an offering, it all goes to Bibles, tracts, and what am I here on earth for? All the booklets just to have materials to reach out to the masses, tracts, follow-up materials, all this reprinting course, it just goes on for it. And we're out here to let the information be known to the body of Christ. And the latest 3E, 31st of July, it's quite amazing, you know. It's like, I always like to share the latest testimony. And every month we're out there reaching out. And so if you are going to be joining us, right, 22nd of April, which is this coming Wednesday. This coming is a holiday, so no school, no nothing, you know. You're welcome to join me there. So take a picture, WhatsApp me, sign up outside. My wife is going to man the bookstore. All right, so you ready with the Word of God? Right, turn your Bibles to Acts chapter 8, verse 26. Acts chapter 8, verse 26. All right, I'm going to have the screen right here so you can read it from the screen as well. Okay, so let's quieten our hearts to read the Word of God. Acts chapter 8. Okay, now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Go south to the road, the desert road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza." So he started out, and on his way he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of all the treasury of the Candace, queen of the Ethiopians. "This man has gone to Jerusalem to worship, and on his way home was sitting in the chariot reading the book of Isaiah the prophet. The Spirit told Philip, 'Go to that chariot and stay near it.' Then Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. 'Do you understand what you are reading?' Philip asked. 'How can I?' he said, 'unless someone explains it to me.' So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him." This is the passage of scripture the eunuch was reading. "He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before his shearer is silent, so he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation, he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth." The eunuch asked Philip, "Tell me, please, who is this prophet talking about, himself or someone else?" Right? Then Philip began with the very passage of scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. As they traveled along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "Look, here is water. What can stand in my way, in the way of my being baptized?" Philip said, "If you believe with all your heart, you may." The eunuch answered, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." And he gave orders to stop the chariot. Then both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. Verse 39. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away, and the eunuch did not see him again, but went on his way rejoicing. Philip, however, appeared at Azotus and traveled about, preaching the gospel in all the towns until he reached Caesarea. Let's pray. Father, I come to you this evening in fear and trembling of your word, to know that your word is life. Your word is life. And I pray that your word speaks forth the truth, right from me as a messenger, as a servant, you know, hide me behind the shadow of the cross so that it is you that gets all the glory. Take it all, O God. Hide me behind that we must decrease and you must increase. So I pray this evening that whatever that's preached for from this pulpit, it goes into the hearts of the youth. It cuts deep into their hearts that they will be convicted of the spirit of evangelism and they will arise as a church to be responsible to take the Great Commission out. So I pray and commit this service into your hands. Have your way, Holy Spirit. Have your way. You are the boss. You are the whole in charge of this place. So come and move as you may. I commit this service into your hands in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. So let's start from the very first verse. Okay, now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, go south to the road, the desert road that goes from Jerusalem to Gaza. So you have your Bible, so you underline the word the desert road. No? So, look, I like to preach in terms of the, we got to know the background, we got to know the context of what is being shared. That's so important. Very often the word of God is mistaken, you know, they just pluck a verse out and then they just use it for their own advantage. But here, I go from the background to see the whole situation. Alright, so let's look at the utopian, okay? He's an important official, you know, he's in charge of all the treasury. Basically, he's like a VIP. Super important person, right? Gentile, very important fact, you know, eunuch, traveling from Jerusalem to worship. So you see the map over here, it's that stretched down, right? And he's a seeker of the word. He's reading the Bible in a sense, right? He's reading the Old Testament. Totally seeking after God. And so we go straight, you know, right to this term called the desert road. Yep. So, there are times where you face a wilderness experience, right? Harsh terrain, dry, dusty. So this desert road is like a wilderness season for that utopian, you know? So it's like away from home. Do we have people who are not Singaporeans here? Anyone here? Foreigners here? Anyone? Yeah, I saw one sister over there, right? Anyone else? Yep. Anyone over there? Right? So, you know, when you're away from your home, you tend to feel, you know, you may get homesick, you're like away from the people that you're used to. Of course, in this church, you have new friends, definitely. But right as a foreigner, you see, the utopian was so alone, away from home, dry, ulu place, you know, and that desire to be connected. So amazing, right? And then he's still seeking, you know, he's still reading the word. You know? So there are seasons in your life, you know, somehow you face this moment, you know, where your prayer seems to be not answered. Say, God, why is it this way? You know, Lord, I desire for this to happen. How come it doesn't happen? Oh, Lord. And the important question that some of us actually go through is that, God, where are you? Where are you, God? You know, I'm going through this pain in my life. I'm going through this season. Where are you, God? Wow, you know, sometimes we go through this desert road experience. And I want to share from my own testimony how I came to know the Lord. At this very small segment, you know, I was going through this season. I was seeking, I was hungry for God, and I was going through this depression stage. 6 months of my life, you know, in darkness. And I remember I was seeking the Lord, you know. People are telling me, you know, yeah, Jeremiah 29, you know, you will seek me, you seek him and find him, you seek him with all your heart. Now, I took the word so seriously and I was just desiring, I was hungry, I was going through this desert road. No, God, you know, where are you? And I remember through a friend from ICQ, she texted me. ICQ was like super long ago. I think some of the youth don't even know what's ICQ. So, do you know what's WhatsApp, all these things? So, you know, those era, you know, then this text me. So, go read Psalms 139. So, I read it. I couldn't read it. I just couldn't understand. Nothing came true. But after a while, I remembered, you know, when I went to the shower room, I cried, right? Then the word of God spoke to me. Wow, amazing, you know. I was a pre-believer. I was still seeking after God. And the word says, you know, right from on the screen you see, you know, if you go out to the heavens, you are there. If I make my base in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there, your right hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. Wow. And when the word of God spoke to me, my tears stopped, you know. And I went back frantically to the person who is chatting online. He said, hey, you know what, Susan, you know, I think God spoke to me, you know. And then Susan told me, I know. So, whoa. That was like, wow, no, that was like, you know, God tells me that He is there, watching over me. And then subsequently, I came to know the Lord, 15th of July, 10:40 p.m. year 2005, and then my depression was healed, and it's like, just that testimony, you know, where God has always been there. God is looking, God is searching, seeking your heart, you know, it's like footprints on the sand, you know, it's like, you're just walking by yourself, and then, but you think that you're alone, but God is the one carrying you through the season. Some of you youths have gone through difficult seasons in your life. I know some of them. Very tough times, very tough. But God tells you that, hey, you are actually not walking alone. I am there holding you by your hand. And so if you read from Isaiah, see the scripture from Isaiah 49, it says, can a mother forget the baby at her breast and have no compassion on the child she has born? Though she may forget, I will not forget you. See, I've engraved you on the palms of my hand, you know. Wow. When I read that verse, it's such an amazing fact. How do you take out your hands, right? Okay, lift out your hands. If you write something on your hand, right, on a marker pen, correct? You know, your ink comes and it washes away and it's like gone. But you engrave your name on your hand. You know, imagine, you know, do you think, you know, whatever storms of life, you know, the storms of challenges of what you're going through, whatever soap solution that goes through your hand, when it's engraved, right, it remains there, you know. So God's telling people that, hey, I have engraved you in the palm of my hands. I have not forgotten you, you know. Wow. Amazing. Wow. That is so true. And that's how we see this whole principle is being applied. It's being applied from the Word of God, you see. So if you look at that utopian eunuch, right, if you look, study the background, what I shared, you know, this guy is a Gentile, you know. Gentile is not Jewish, right? It's like totally from somewhere utopia, you know, and it's like Ulu place, you know, remote place, somewhere in the desert, and it's defect, you know. Defect, it means like, when you look at Leviticus 21 and Deuteronomy 23, you know, anyone who has been emasculated, right? They cannot come close to the assembly of God, you know. No man who has a defect may come near. So that's the background of this utopian. So far off, so ulu place, defect some more, you know. But yet, he still receives salvation. Amazing, you know. Wow. Amazing. And we see the evidence, you know. We see the evidence of this salvation, right? You say, hey, you know what? Stop by, you know, in verse 36, you know, look here, here's water. Who can stand in my way being baptized, you know? So that's the evidence. It's like, this guy is real. This guy is serious about knowing the Lord. And we see the five candidates over here. When they get baptized, they are for real, no? Their life is accountable to the body of Christ. And we see that's being real. Really displayed in that utopian eunuch. And that's the clear evidence, you know. Wow. And the Bible is full of examples of people going through difficult situations. Right? Hagar, Ishmael in Genesis 21, Genesis 16. Hannah crying out for a child. First Samuel 1, verse 10 to 16. Joseph in prison. Moses, burning bush. David, when he's being pursued by Saul, a woman in bleeding for 12 years, I can go on and on. So many examples, you see. So the Word of God tells us, you know, see, from heaven, the Lord looks down and sees all mankind. From his dwelling place, he watches all who live on earth. He watches you. He watches you, see. And the eyes of the Lord, so we know from 2 Chronicles, he ranges throughout the earth. He's like every day, you know, God is just searching. He's searching. He's looking. He's looking to your hearts. He's looking to your hearts. Isn't that amazing? And then, this is how it applies to evangelism. This is how it applies. See, so this testimony of this guy called Ati, you know, amazing, you know. Wow, I was bleeding some time back, you know. I was just somewhere about 9 p.m. I see this guy who's lying down at those seats, you know. Just lie down there. I said, hey, what happened? You know, I approach him, talk to him, and I begin to realize that he's actually, he's like a returning brother, you know. It's like a, you know, returning brother means he came out from prison. So he was there, homeless, you know, totally nothing, you know, no phone, no nothing, you know. And then I spoke to him in Mandarin, you know, hey, 你认识耶稣吗? You know, 你好吗? You know, 吃饭了吗? All these things. I just somehow was able to speak to him in Mandarin and share the gospel. And so I remember I asked him, you know, 你真的要相信耶稣吗? Do you really want to believe in Jesus? Because I was testing him, you know, he just say only, ma. Right? Then from there, tears came from his eyes. He said, 我什么都没有, I remember. I don't even have anything, you know. I will really want to believe in Jesus. I said, okay. So I prayed for him. How? Then after that, buy for him dinner, you know. See this McDonald's, I buy for him dinner. And I'm not really a fan of fast food. You can ask my wife about that, okay? But I bought him combo meal or something, you know. So I bought for him and then I passed him apple pie for his breakfast tomorrow because I won't see him, right? So I just pray for him and say, okay, all the best. And then that's it lah. I don't get to see him, you know. Pass him some tracks. And then some months later, doing a GoFest evangelism, I was partnering with another youth. And then we were blading. And then this youth said, hey, there's a man sitting over there, you know. Then I said, where? It's like in the middle of a crowd. And so, there's a man sitting over there. I said, oh, where? Then we walked over, like, you know, blades, you know, walk over the place. And then we saw this man. And this guy is Ati, same place, you know, same person. You know. Wow, my jaw dropped, you know. Then he recognized me. He said, hey, hi, Xiaoti, how are you? So we talk. And then we begin to realize that he actually got a job, you know, at this cleaning, at the hawker center there, as a cleaner position. And then, 1 year later, I remember I met him again. This time he was riding a bicycle. And so he has a place to stay now, a rental place. And then I asked him, you know, Ati, 你还相信耶稣吗？ Do you believe in Jesus? That he says to me, if it's green, it's mom. I say, 哈哈，是的， you know, 是的， yes, I still believe. 哇， from then on, I began to learn this very important lesson. That I may forget, right? But God never forgets, you know. Wow. For the people that you reach out to, the seed that is planted in their lives, you think that, you know, you never see them again, but God continues to carry on, you know. God continues to carry on that drawing to that person, you know. Of course, I've never met him again, you know, because I was, you know, going through home shifting, everything, and all the stuff when I was getting married and everything. But I know at that point of time, you know, I've done my part to reach out to him. Wow. God never forgets. God never forgets. So you see, so what can we apply from scriptures, right? I'm interested in the word of God that is applicable. Now, how can we take home the message and make this real, make this word rhema, and it identifies our spirit and it changes our lives? That is what I'm interested in. That is what I'm keen to preach. Because when I raise up a generation that is after God's heart, the word of God becomes real. Right? So application number one, okay? So, what can we learn from this? You know, so no obstacle, okay? Physical defect, race, geographical remoteness can place a person beyond the saving call of the good news. Very important lesson, right? And God has never left you or forsake you, okay? But let me clarify, okay? If you continue to abide in Him, yes, this thing is applicable. You know, the people who live in sin and they continue to sin, you know, do you think, you know, God will actually, continue to abide in you? Wow, question. I question about that, okay? But I'm here to tell you that no obstacle. God is reaching out. God desires to save everyone to come to his knowledge. You know, like Luke 19, you know, verse 9 to 10, we says that when Jesus was talking to Zacchaeus, right, you know, for the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. You know, that is the first application point. Powerful, you know, powerful. And I hope this stays with you whenever you're out there reaching out to your colleagues or friends or family members. Okay, let's go on. Let's move on, okay? So from the second part, okay, this is where the exciting part comes in, you know, the real heart of Philip, you know. So we see that Philip, right, is one of the seven original deacons, right? Acts chapter 6, you can read one of the previous passages. Context-wise, right, this guy is an evangelist. This guy is quite super evangelist, you know. Right, for the previous verses up, you know, verse 4 to 8. Wow, this guy does like healing, deliverance, miraculous signs in Samaria, you know. Very powerful ministry, striving well. People came to know the Lord, you know. But the strange thing is that God summoned Philip, you know, from a thriving ministry in Samaria into this wilderness place, you know. Wow, so if I were Philip, it's like, what is going on, Lord? You know, I'm doing well here, you know. I'm doing well here. Why do you call me out to this ulu place? Why? So Philip, right, with little obedience, complete trust in God who guides, you know, he still obeys. He still obeys. Right? Right? I remember I shared this this idea of a contact lens. How many remember the message that I was sharing 2 years ago? Wow, I think some of you still remember. Amazing. Right? So you talk about this contact lens, right? I shared before this story, you know. This traveler who lost his contact lens, and then because he prayed, then God told the ants to move the contact lens, right? That's why his contact lens is found, you know. So out of that obedience, you see, God has a helicopter view. So, but see, from this context, right, because of the obedience of Philip, because of the obedience of Philip, right, there is salvation. Salvation of that utopian leader, as well as baptism to confirm, you know, wow, you know, his heart is really right. And as a new believer, right, he brought the faith back home to Africa, and because of that, right, the gospel reached Africa. Wow. Isn't it amazing? Just from that single step of obedience, right? So you look at the phone, it talks about purpose, right? You know, a phone can be used cannot be used to sweep a floor, cannot be used to hammer nails, not meant for it, but it's meant to make a phone call. Once you realize who you are in Christ, you know your purpose, everything changes. Wow. Purpose. So important. If you realize that Singapore is the Antioch of Asia, we are all called to be reaching out to whoever that God has placed in our lives. Whoever. Okay, I'm going to share more testimonies later. So, second application point as well. Very important, but yet it was covered in a previous sermon. But I'm going to still highlight this very pivotal principle. Okay, what is God's purpose for your life? Are you willing to be fully obedient to it, even if it doesn't make sense? You know, I always add this thing. Even if it doesn't make sense. To Philip, it doesn't make sense. But yet he obeyed, and then from there, there was fruit. Same thing when I started blading, right? I shared before in my last sermon as well. For some of you who are new as well, God spoke to me, asked me to rollerblade at Bishan Park. I was like, huh? This is the unheard of, you know. I just obeyed, bladed through, siam here, siam there, you know, all scared of me. I was scared of the, you know, I look at the face, wow, so fierce. I just siam, 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 whole night I siam. And then I came past this lady jogger, lady some more, you know, last try. I said, okay, God, did I hear wrongly? I tried passing a tract to this lady jogger. Then somehow I was just talking to her, and then with fear and trembling, didn't know what to say. And then the lady started to cry. I was like, okay, you want to sit down? Relax, you know, I just share my testimony. And then from there, the lady tells me that she's empty and all this stuff, you know. And then I said, you want to receive Jesus? Okay, let's pray. And then she came to know Christ. And next day I bought the church before the someone else, it was his sister who took over. So that was the changing point of my life. It says, wow, God, like that also can. And from then on, I went forth to play. I went forth to share the gospel. And that's how everything just spiraled up. And then God opens doors like nobody's business. And I went down there reaching out, raising the next generation up. It's amazing. It all starts from that single step of obedience. Right, so second application, very important. Right, third one, moving on. Now we come to the crux of this message, the heart of Philip. That is evangelism. You see, so I'm going to unpack three very important components, right? Number one, okay, it is the Word of God. Word of God. Wow. You need to know the Word of God. You must know the Word of God. See, you look at the passage, right, in Scripture. Say, verse 35, then Philip began with the very passage of Scripture. He came at the part because he understood that what was being shared was from Isaiah 53. And we all know Isaiah 53 points to the Messiah. Super obvious, you know, points, but yet, you know, the utopian couldn't get it, you see. But we know it because we have the New Testament. But so from then, Philip began to open up Scriptures. He said, because of that opening up in the right direction, the person came to know the Lord, right? The same thing. Can you imagine, right? You go and talk to your friends, right? Your friend comes to you. Hi. I read this thing, for God so loved the world, in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only begotten son, you know, that those who believe in him will never perish, will have eternal life. And then, who is this son, you know, imagine someone asks you this, right? Then you, I don't know, let me find out, wow, that's it, siao liao, you know. Right? Cannot, you know, it's like, it's there, they tell, it's Jesus. Right? So you got to know the Word of God. You must know. And then, when it comes to the Word of God, I'm going to emphasize again, that do you preach about repentance before the person comes to know the Lord? Do you talk about a change in his lifestyle? Do you know scriptures that point to Jesus? Do you know or not? Do you know? Wow, that's important, right, you see? Because if you do not know, then you're in trouble. Because they will ask you, how do you know that this is Jesus? How do you know? And if you don't have the proper context and you don't share the correct one, that's it, right? You tell people that, oh, okay, you come to Christ, very easy one, you know, just it's like a drug, and you take this drug, and then all your problems go away. You come to Jesus because you get healed one, you know. You come to Jesus because he's going to make you very, very rich. All these gospels, the wrong, it's not the correct gospel. Do you know the Word of God for yourself before you're even out there to preach the correct gospel, and it comes with repentance? You tell people from the scripture, this is true. It points to Christ. Do you know the verses for yourself to convince other people? Wow, serious stuff, right? Word of God, very important. Word of God. Secondly, a willing vessel. Okay, are you a willing vessel for God to use you? And I use the word proximity because you see, you look at verse 29, you know, the Spirit told Philip, go to the chariot and stay near it, you know. Go to that chariot, stay near it. And Philip ran to the chariot. Can you imagine, the Holy Spirit tell Philip, go to the chariot, and then Philip just, okay, never mind, I stand here, wait for the chariot to come to me, you know. Does it make sense, you know? Some of you are like, okay, I'm going to reach out, I'm going to sit at this corner and wait for someone to come and ask me who Jesus is. Is that going to happen? Maybe, 0.1%. Maybe. You're called to go out there. You're called to bring the gospel out. Wow, so Philip, you see, was obedient and he ran. So it's like, are you willing to be close to people? Right? Are you willing to be close to people? And secondly, is the entry point. I like to talk about entry point because you can share the gospel for a lot of theological facts, a lot of theory. But to the person, it doesn't matter because, oh, it's okay, nice history lesson, no? Let's go and study Gandhi. Let's go and study Donald Trump. Let's go and study someone else, you know? Right? But how is the gospel relevant? So you come to understand, you spend time with the person, you listen to what the person is going through, you know. Is the person going through loneliness? Then you preach Christ as the friend to the lonely. You preach Christ as the father to the fatherless. The person is going through worry, right? Then you preach Christ as the shalom peace. In John 14:27, the person is going through a time of seeking direction. Oh, how? Should I go JC? Should I go poly? Which course to take? You preach Christ as the shepherd that guides. You preach Christ in accordance to the person's need, and then the person will listen. I always tell that in my equipping courses, you got to spend time with the person. You got to understand the person. You got to be with that person. Not just a touch and go, and then, no, you got to love the person. Wow, entry point, very important. Third one is the Holy Spirit leading. Holy Spirit leading and empowerment. Wow, this is so important. No? Philip actually knew that the Spirit told him to go, you see. So there's this level of obedience, and yet it is being led by the Holy Spirit. Question, what is the purpose of the Holy Spirit in your life? What is the purpose? Right? Is it to tell people, oh, okay, I receive the Holy Spirit, I can be here, I can pray in tongues, and that's it, you know? Is that all? Is that all? Let me tell you from the answer right from Scripture, Acts chapter 1, verse 8. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you shall be my what? Witnesses, you know? Did you say you shall be my spectator? No. Spectator means that, oh, okay, nice eye power, enjoy the show. No, you should be witnesses, because you're supposed to come up stage here and testify about Jesus. Stand up for the place where you're working. Stand up for the place where you're studying, you know. Point to people to Jesus. That's your purpose, and that's why the Holy Spirit is meant to be in your life. Wow. Isn't that important? Holy Spirit leading. So important. Because without the Holy Spirit... So you see, when I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, I remember it's just chaos, you know. I was like... I was so filled with boldness and courage. I was out there, my skin becomes so thick, you know, I just chung one, you know. I just chung and I tell, reject next one. I just tell, because there's something burning inside me. There's a spirit that stirs. Wow, and that just sparked off everything. It sparked off my desire to move in the spirit and to tell people about Jesus in accordance to what the Bible says. So it's like, how can this be applicable, right? So let me tell you this testimony, right? So from Kenneth, right? It's a youth. I was working in my workplace, and he's actually he's a student attached. Do you have people from Ngee Ann Poly over here? Anyone? Ngee Ann Poly? Oh, there's one. A few. Okay. You know, if you go through lab medicine, you know, go through the laboratory course, you will come to be attached to my workplace, lah. I don't know whether it's you, okay. But so anyway, this guy, among the many other people, you know, last day, I was asking, so Kenneth, do you know what you are going to study? You know, I don't know. No. Then I said, have you prayed to God? And he's like, sorry, Mr. Wallace, I think I left God, you know. I actually left God. So somehow the Spirit stirred out in me something, and I just blurted this thing out, you know. Do you think God has left you? Whoa, that was like, he was shocked, you know. He was like, let me spend time to tell you more, you know. So we made arrangements, you know, to actually meet after the whole attachment is over. And I brought my fiancée that time. We were not married yet. So we met up in McDonald's, right, over there, you know. And then we went through scriptures, you know, to point to him about Jesus. We talk about repentance. And I shared my testimony. My wife shared her testimony. And we just answered all his questions. We answered, we pointed for the Bible, you know, this is the truth. This is what you're accountable for, you know. And then you think it through. You decide for yourself, right? So from there, you know, me and my wife said, okay, let's go. Let's walk around Bishan Park. You think through, lah. I'm not going to force you. So we went out, we had a nice stroll praying for him, you know. Then we came back, we just casually asked, oh, would you like some more water? Then he says, Mr. Wallace, I decided to come back to Jesus. Okay, why? Why? Come from the person himself. Then he said, yeah, this is this scripture, God is real. They said, okay, good. Now we shall pray for you, right? And so from then on, this youth came to know the Lord. 17 February. Wow, amazing. So from there, we follow up, brought to my young adult congregation, and then link up with Samantha, the cell leader, and he has a genuine hunger of the word. You know, he says, Mr. Wallace, I finished Luke, you know, what should I read? Read John. Mr. Wallace, I finished reading John, what should I do? Read again, you know. So that's how, you know, we have the entry point, and we know the word of God. Very important. Entry point, word of God. And then you reach out. Okay, so the third application, okay? So are you equipped with the Word of God? Are you willing to be close to people? Are you empowered by the Holy Spirit? Wow, that is so important. Very, very important application, right? Equipped with the Word of God, close to people, you know? So you can go through this life, you can be a secret Christian, whatever, hiding one corner, it doesn't work that way, it doesn't. You gotta stand up, be the light. You gotta stand up, be the salt. You gotta exercise your faith. You gotta tell people that you're a Christian. People have to know that you're a Christian. They have to know. Right? I preached this in my first message before. They have to know. You have to be the salt. You have to be the light. That's your responsibility. And now finally, the fourth point, okay? So we see, this is the most application one, okay? You have all my testimonies coming up. So we look at Philip, right? Whoever the person, you know, whoever. So if I were Philip, right? I'm so used to ministry to lay people, you know? I go there, Samaria, you know, lay people, ordinary, normal people, you know, who are like, same level, okay? But this guy Philip, huh? Who is utopian? Who is just, important? This VIP, you know? Wow, it's like, unheard of, you know, yet God still asked me to reach out to him. So same thing, modern context, how do we bring it to be applicable to our own life? Is that God may ask you to speak to someone, to your principal, to the cabinet minister, I don't know, to the cleaner, to Filipinos, Indonesians, China, Myanmar, to anyone, you know. And the key verse is from 1 Corinthians 9, okay? I have become all things to all people so that by all possible means I might save some. That is Paul's heartbeat. That is Paul's heartbeat. Amazing, you know. So we see how Philip actually radically obeys this call by all possible means. You know, he just what I call it. He don't put box. He don't put God in a box. He says, God, anything can. Okay, I'm going to be obedient to you. I'm going to open my heart in whatever way. And that's the first point. Whoever the person. All right. So you can see that, you know, testimony is like, it's like this China youth, Filipinos. I'm out there blading and then praying for them. And this Indonesian mate over there, Tuti. You know, amazing. You know. So I remember reaching out to her, brought her to church, you know. She just fell by the power of the Holy Spirit, and then it's like, wow, all kinds of testimonies. We brought, she couldn't come to church, she's a domestic maid. So we brought the church to her every week, Saturday evening. We do Bible study with her. And then you see her statement of faith. It's like, you know what? Her employer asked her to burn some incense. She said, no, sir, I'm not going to do that, you know. I believe in Jesus. You want, you do yourself. She could get fired, you know. But the employer saw her faith. He said, okay, never mind. I will do it, you know. And then for then on, she grew, and then she says, I hope to start a church in Indonesia. I don't know how she's going to do it, but somehow, I encourage her. Okay, so whoever the person, and then I like to share testimonies that are so recent, though. They're so recent. This is water testing with a purpose in July, okay? Me and my wife, we were out there, you know. This person came and do water testing at our toilet, and then this guy, Kinder Singh, right? He came. Multiple language track, you know. Which one you're Punjabi? Read the Punjabi, you know. Then he really, then he understood. And then, cause got two rounds, one, put water first, then come back, and then later come back and test again. So second round, we passed a Punjabi Bible, you know. Then he read the first thing, Genesis 1. And then I remember my wife actually challenged him, you know. Do you really know who you believe? Do you know? And I shared my testimony and all that stuff. The third round, he came and visits. You know what? Sorry, sir. I cannot take the Bible because my supervisor doesn't allow me. But it's okay. I took back, and then, but I passed the track. He kept the track. And I know somehow at that moment, at that time, I shared the love of Christ with him. Whoever the person. Right? So secondly, wherever the location, wherever, okay, so wilderness, desert road, this is like from Philip's point of view, you know, who are any possible area. So modern context, right, it can be bus stops, MRT stations, petrol stations, supermarket, workplace, anywhere. Do not put God in a box. It can be right at your school, right in your class, anywhere. Wow. Isn't that amazing, you know? So same. I've become all things to all people so that by all possible means, I might save some. Wow. Wow. Wherever the location is. So that, so when I teach this or when I preach from the Bible, I exercise and apply for myself first. And I test it in Romans 12. I test it and I approve that, yes, it is real. It is doable, right? So from there, when I pump petrol, right? You know, pumping petrol with a purpose. Like that also can, you know. Pump petrol, reach out to this guy called Raj, you know. First time I came, pass him a track. Second time I drive, car wash, right? Pass him a Tamil Bible. And then third time come, pray for him, you know. Fourth time, I remember, you know, I just look forward to pumping my car petrol, you know. I look forward to see him, you know. But he can't come to church, but it's okay, I bring to church. You know? So I remember, so me and my wife were there, we were just talking to him, you know. And then I remember I was asking him, you know, so Raj, do you still believe in Jesus, you know? Then he looked at me with a smile on his face, you know, and said, brother, if I don't believe in Jesus, I won't be talking to you. Wow, you know. Struggle, this guy struggled with finances. It's real. He can't even help his sister get married. He can't. He don't have enough money for himself, you know, and they don't earn much. But you see the smile in his face, you know, it's like, whoa, that when he see me, you know, hello, sir. Hello, hello. Then you look at him, he's like, how are you? How are you? And all that stuff. You know, so it's amazing, you know. Wow, pumping petrol with a purpose, you know. And now we go on further, you know, wedding with a purpose. I remember 7th of April when I got married. Wow, unheard of, you know, super evangelistic, you know. Can I find out who actually attended my wedding here? Stephanie, where are you? Stephanie is somewhere around here. Stephanie is somewhere, or whoever that attended, you know. Yeah, I remember. Maybe somewhere I can't see you, okay? But anyway, for those that attended, it just opened, you know, it was just amazing chaos, you know. We're out there, I was just preaching about the 3 M's, and it's just so radical, you know. We're open altar call, you know. Imagine, you know, I just hijacked the whole wedding, open altar call, I said, those who want to come to receive Jesus, who want to be prayed for, right? Yeah, and then it's like, let me see over there, people literally came, right? And they actually wanted to be prayed for. You see the bride and the bridegroom coming down and praying for people, you know. Unheard of, you know. Wow, this is totally unheard of, radical. But it doesn't matter, man. This is my wedding, right? And if it happens once, I make sure it happens well. And people remember the wedding. They remember for sure. And it's just an amazing time. You know? My parents was there, and it's like it's just such a memorable wedding. And I never forget the time when people came to me and said, you know what, Wallace, you know, I'm so thankful for sharing. I'm so thankful for your sharing, your honesty, and you know how real you are. Yeah, how real you are. And I just love it because it's like it's just a time to whack, because so many pre-believer relatives come, right? You say, they're forced to listen, no? Then from there I follow up, right? So from there, when I attended wedding for purpose, right? My brother-in-law got married, I think just recently, last month, July last month, 21st July. Yeah. Somehow there is some competition of sound from behind, you know. But it doesn't affect me, you know. Yeah, okay. Yeah. You guys can still hear me, right? Yeah, I think Samuel is coming up to investigate the sound that is coming up. Maybe it's someone trying to declare the gospel or something, you know. So, okay, so attending wedding with a purpose, right? So remember, in July, right, when I was, you know, because my wife has to do reception duties, and I was out there, sitting down, attend wedding, got chopstick, right? Take the chopstick, and then from there, I actually reach out to the person behind me, my cousin, my cousin actually, you know. So just whack, reach out, you know. And then, there's this particular cousin that has a tattoo on her back, you know. And he has this face. This is not her. Okay? This is just the tattoo that's similar. Right, and he talks about Ohana means family, you know. Family means nobody gets left behind or forgotten. Yeah, and I remember when I asked her, you know, why did you want this tattoo, you know? Like, then she started to tell me, you know, oh, because family is so important to her. And then I began to realize, I knew that her dad actually passed away before she was born. So she actually grew up without a father, you know. So she would go through that process that she wants to be involved in the family. Her family is so important to her because she doesn't want to be forgotten, you know. Wow. So I find that was like so, wow, you know, my heart just felt that, you know, if she knew Jesus, right, who is the father to the fatherless, right? So I just tell her, you know, yeah, do you know that Jesus is the father to the fatherless? You attended my wedding, I preached the gospel to you. Do you know that, you know? So I just started sharing with her, and I used the opportunity to reach out to her. And then there's a pastor as well that I've actually shared with, and we were just out there praying together, encouraging one another. So next one, whatever the means, you know, amazing, you know. So you see Philip, right, he goes to the chariot. The usual method is that you go to synagogue, large gatherings, you know. But this guy is like, whatever, you know. Okay, God, you know, whatever the means, let's do it, you know. Let's just do it. So for me, rollerblading, you know, street evangelism, whatever the means. Friendship also can. Home visitation also can. And the verse is still the same. After this, you remember this verse. I become all things to all people so that by all possible means, I might save some. Wow, and here we go. Here comes the testimonies, right? Here it comes, okay? So, home visitation with a purpose. You know, this is the home that we did it, you know? We just renovated, and then we put on, this is our walk with the Lord. And Amos 3:3 is a marriage verse that God spoke to me before I even married her. So, I put it up, you know, in the master bedroom. There's a whole Amos 3:3 verse, and then Psalm 27 verse 4, there's a throne chair in my prayer room. And then from there, I actually tell people, I put a shama right at my front door, you know, at the front living room, and everybody who sees it said, this is the word of God, this is this. So I use my home as an avenue to preach the gospel. And then here's my marriage resolution as well. And putting Jesus at the center of our marriage. And it just whack, you know, whoever that comes to our home, right? Da 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 da, come on, man. Let's come. Lie, come, you know. So I began to invite colleagues to come, you know. So you can see how real it is, you know. Colleagues came and same thing, you know, come to your prayer room, closed door, that's it, you know, they can't escape. So I just one round, tell all the verses, preach the gospel. Okay, thank you. You may go out now, you know. So, you know, it's just like, it's just amazing, right? Whatever that means, right? You know, so from there, they are my colleagues, you know, and I really care for them, you know. People who have health issues, you know, I pass a track on health. Right? People who have, like, you know, searching for meaning, and then pass the relevant track because I knew the entry point. Right? Using home as an evangelistic platform, and 1 Peter 3, I've shared this before. Right? In your hearts, revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer for the hope. For that hope, you know, for that reason, you know. Wow, you must be in a ready position, you know. So other means, so come on, man, let's go. Haircut for purpose. I was cutting my hair. Reach out to Karen, you know, just share with her the gospel. Mandarin, brought the Cantonese service to be prayed for. We were searching for a bridal studio at, you know, B Queens. I befriended Valen, prayed for her. We had a mini prayer meeting there. We just whacked the gospel. She bought 10 copies of my books, you know, and she came to the English service, you know. So it's like whatever the means, you know. And then from there, we were buying wedding rings, you know. We reach out to Tina, SK Jewelry or whatever, you know. So befriended her, invited her for Chinese service. I was proposing to her at Barry Chi. And then after proposal, we saw two Chinese ladies. Right? We reached out, we had a prayer meeting. Prayer meeting, right? One of them was from China. Actually, born in China. One of them had cancer, going through a very difficult time. And so we prayed for her. And we shared with her about the love of Christ. So whatever the means, you know. Here is Street E as well. Nitin, right, you know, from India. And then worked as a assistant manager. So it's like all kinds, you know, any means, you know. Wow. So on there, reaching out, share with him the love of Christ. He came to church. He's like, hey, why don't you come to my Holiday Inn and I go to your church? So I was like, okay, let's exchange, you know. So he came to our church, and then from there, we respond to the altar call. But then when I share in detail, there's only one God. So-called Hinduism, right? But in Christ, only one God. Cannot have all and many other gods. From there, he taught. You know, Pastor Abby was preaching to him as well. But he knew. So when I shared the gospel, I shared the real, full, authentic gospel. This is the gospel. One God. You have to give up everything else. So he says, okay, I'm going to consider, I'm going to think it through. Wow. At least he knew the message, right? The seed was planted. Continue following him. And all kinds, you know, even making brandy rice with a purpose, you know. I don't have time to put my slides because I have to submit my slides 1 week in advance, you know. So I brought Miranti, you know, we were like making brandy rice, you know, from there, came to our house, you know, shared the gospel, challenged her theology. And then I remember God spoke to me, you know, share with her three things, you know. Number one, she's a father to the fathers. Number two, I saw a vision of a heart that's scarred. And then, you know, number three is that God will mend your broken pieces of your heart. And then Psalm 73. Came, you know, and I released the word to her, and she's like, wow, thank you, wow, you know. So many, you know, I told Pastor Krishna, I need more time because the testimony is just so many, you know, and I can't even include everything, but you guys get the point, okay? So the fourth application is whoever the person, right? Wherever the location, whatever the means, you know, don't put God in a box. And from here, this is a vision, very familiar vision, right? So all these flames, right? You know, you put at the center too, right? Bishan Orchard Road belongs to me. The souls of men are all mine, okay? The rest is yours. Take it, you know? Take it, right? And there comes a point in time where, you know, there's enough of defense, so it's time to be out there to arise up, to stand up for Christ, right? Without a God-given vision, we will lose focus, right? Coming to my ending few slides, it's like, so my copy of the book is like, this person is rollerblading, he has a message of the gospel, and he says, rescue, you know, you are rescued to be a rescuer. And you are a missionary. Every saved person is a missionary, and every unsaved person is a mission field. And over the years, I begin to realize that it is not the harvest field that has a problem. It's not. It's always ready, right? It's always ready. Workers are few. It's out there. Just out there. Take it. But it is the harvest force. It is the harvest force. Wow. So Romans 10, right? Very familiar passage. Right? How can they call if they are not believe? How can they believe if they are not heard? Right? If they don't hear, how can someone hear it if they don't preach, right? If they're not sent. So when it comes to such things that, you know, yeah, preach the gospel, use words if necessary. I don't agree, you know. You can do all kinds of good things, but yet, people still don't know that you're a Christian. You've got to tell them you're a Christian. They've got to know you're a Christian. Right? And here's a trustworthy saying from someone that I heard. My Savior did not die such a public death for you to have a private faith. I say it again. My Savior did not die such a public death for you to have a private faith. Your faith has to be public, right? To know Him and to make him known. Right? And so finally, in summary, so these are the points. These are the points that in response, right, as the worship team plays. Right? So the 4 points that I've actually gone through, right? 4 points I've shared about no obstacle can place a person beyond a saving call of the good news. So here, you see, in this point, how do you respond to the word of God, you know? So with every eyes closed, right, every head bowed, so I'm going to give that response. I'm going to give this response to you guys, okay? So if that is you, okay, if that is you, and you know, the most important person here, you know, is like, if you do not even know Jesus, you know, you're seeking after God, you know, and just giving this altar call response to people who may not even know Jesus. You have come here to witness a friend being baptized, you know, or you may just be brought in by a friend, you know, you do not know Jesus, and you think that you're far away, you know, God has forsaken you, you know, God has left you, you feel that you're far away from God, all these things. Right, if that is you and it says, yes, I want to come back to God. I know that God is reaching out to me. I know that God loves me, but I know I want to come near to God. I want to draw close to God because no obstacle can place me beyond His saving call of the good news. So if that is you, you do not know Jesus here, I would like to give this invitation. You know, if you do not know Jesus and you want to know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, now, I would like you to raise up your hands, or you may stand in whatever way, right? For people who do not know Jesus, is there any one of you here? Any one of you here? Yes. Let's show the second response, right? It comes to all of you here, that if you desire to be empowered by the Holy Spirit, okay, you desire to be empowered by the Holy Spirit, and you want to be close to people now. Say, I'm playing these games. I want to stop playing games, you know. I want to really take that effort to really reach out. I want to come close to God, and I want to come close to the people around me, you know. Yeah, if that is you, I'd like you to respond. Lift up your hands. I'd like you to stand to your feet as well. Yes, I see hands. Yes, yes, you may stand. Yes, yes, people are standing up. Yes. If that is you, say that I want to be equipped with the Word of God. I want to take the Word of God seriously. And I want to make Jesus known because I know the Word of God for myself. If that is you, I would like you to stand and respond to the Word of God. Yes. Is there anyone else? Yes. Don't stand because of your neighbor. Don't stand because of your friend. You stand because of the Lord. Right? And the last group of people says, you know, Lord, I know I'm a Christian, and whatever the means, you know, take me out of that box. Whatever the means, wherever the location, whoever the person, I'm willing to reach out, you know. If that is you, I'd like you to respond. Yes. 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 So as the worship song plays in the background, I'd like those of you who are standing up, right, to spend time with the Lord, to spend time seeking after God, and ask the Lord to open up your hearts to see where He has placed you. And as we worship together, right, I would like you to take this time to be serious with the Word of God, to be serious with the call of evangelism, to really expand His kingdom. Right? Shall we worship the Lord together? Amanda, come.
Oh, won't you, Lord, take a look at our everything we have.
Should we arise?
Use it
all
for
arise.
Your plans. Won't you, Lord, take a look at our hearts? Mold it, refine it, as you said.
As the worship team plays in the background, I would like you all to start praying for each other. I know you all are seated in your cell groups, right? I want you to start praying with each other, and whoever the Lord has placed a name in your heart, you know, pray for that person. Pray for whoever, your classmate, your student, your friend, your best friend, your family, and find someone to pray and tell the partner beside you or in your cell groups that, yes, this is the person I'm going to reach out to. Yes, this is the person that I'm going to spend time to pray and include that person in my prayer closet, and to make efforts to bring that person right here to Church of Our Savior. So as the worship team plays in the background softly, you know, take this time, take the next 5 minutes to pray for one another. Yes, do it. Yes. Go in your cell groups and start praying. Yes. Find a person that you can spend time to pray with. It can be your neighbor, it can be your cell group. Spend time and pray and make that radical decision to bring that person to church. Come on, youths, pray. Come on. Young people, spend time to pray. Pray in the spirit. Pray for that burden you have for that person. The person has not even known Jesus. The person hasn't even known that you are a Christian. There's a way that you should stand up. There's a time for you to be public in your faith. Surrender to the Lord. There's a time for you to be real in being deep in the Bible studies to know about Jesus. So do it. Pray, spend time, invest in the kingdom of God. May you remember those names and be radical and be real and be resolute in your decision to bring that person to church. But it starts by prayer first. Church, our Savior, this is the word of God for you. In Luke 5 verse 31, Jesus answered them, "It is not the healthy who needs a doctor, but the sick. I have not come to call on the righteous, but sinners to repentance." So Father, I come to you this evening, and I pray for Church Our Savior youths to arise. The youths shall arise, and they shall see you for who you are, the magnificent I Am of the I Am, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the righteous one, the holy one, the worthy Lamb of God that was slain. Lord, I pray that you will take the youths and will use their 5 loaves and 2 fishes surrendered into your mighty hands to produce a miracle, a harvest, an influx of youth into the ministry. Lord, I pray for every single one of you to dispel away the myths, the horrors, the fears of evangelism, and you will take them for who they are, and you will tell them that yes, whatever simple it is, whoever the person, whatever the means, wherever the location, it is possible. Show them from the word of God that you have loved them with an everlasting love, and you desire to make your love known to them. So I pray, O God, arise, Church of our Savior, arise. Arise the youths to make a difference in the world. I just pray and commit them into your hands. In Jesus' name I ask. Amen.
You know, guys, the call to draw near to God and to draw near to man is not a new word. It's found in God's greatest commandments. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And the second is, love your neighbor as yourself, isn't it? Let's pray. Father, we hold your commandments dear to our heart. You are the best thing that we know. How can we withhold the best thing we know from those around us. So I pray for us that we will not be light under a cover. That every one of us in this room will take your call seriously. We are not Saturday Christians. We are your children every day of the week. So Father, we pray that you will help us to see the opportunities around us. Help us to be purposeful in making you known. That we have come to respond so many altar calls to say, I consecrate myself for you. I'm ready to hear and obey. Father, bring this word back to remembrance in our Monday to Sunday, every single day of the week, everywhere we go. We are your children and you are the best father that we know. So help us to share about the best thing that we know, the best person that we know. God, we praise you for the message that you reminded us today. Help us to take such serious heed of it. And I pray for each one of us that as you go forth in courage, that you will bless each person's journey, that each one of us here will step out in just simple obedience, doing exactly the things they have called us to do. Not doing going to the left or right, but just doing that one thing that you call us to do. So Father, we want to commit the rest of our week into your hands. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Guys, shall we thank Wallace for sharing with us as well? Thank you. If you would like a copy of his Evangelism Made Simple book, it can be found outside the female toilet here, outside the auditorium. It's only, I think, $10, if I'm not wrong. Correct? Yeah. For a very good cause, so go out and grab a copy. For all our guests who are here for baptism dinner, it is on the rooftop over here, the lift here, at level 5. For the rest of us, we will see you next week.
Thanks for tuning in. We trust you have been blessed. For more information, check us out at www.cruise.org.sg. God bless.